Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Emil Brunner said, "What oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope to the meaning of life." Only someone who has gone to war and has been on the battlefield knows what it means to be there. Even so, family members of servicemen and women know uniquely what it is to go through a deployment and all the fears and anxieties that go with it. In seasons of life that are stressful beyond description, the Lord sends certain individuals with a calling and gifting and heart to bring His strength and hope. Our guest today is one of those chosen members of the United States Air Force. As is our custom, at the beginning of our show, we pause to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is to bring you God's hope. And that through this, our time together, you will know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. In whatever struggle or challenge you may be facing at this very moment, there is nothing so great, so overwhelming, that with God's help, you cannot not only withstand, you can overcome. You can come out on the other side much better than when you came in. Captain M. David Heltem is a chaplain in the United States Air Force. Lieutenant Colonel James D. Golden said of him, "Chaplain Heltem has a rare blend of energy, preaching talent, and intellect that make for an electric atmosphere in all programs he leads." Chaplain Heltem has 20 years of military experience, including multiple deployments, and is a decorated war veteran for his excellence in leadership and ministry. And it's not just his energy and leadership, but the way in which he exercises his gifts, these God-given gifts, to people in a very personal way. You'll experience what I'm talking about during our time together. Emily Dickinson wrote, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all." The Lord has a special word for you, a word of hope through Chaplain Heltem. He's married to Tina Marie. They have two children, Navea and Noah. Chaplain, welcome to our show. Chaplain, tell us, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up just a combination of places, really. Grew up in Eugene, Oregon, also down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and up in Springfield, Missouri, as well. My dad's a professor of Greek and New Testament, so we moved around from Bible college to Bible college, mm-hmm. and so we got around, grew up in various places, experienced different cultures. Of course, being in the military, all over the world, so
yeah.
God's really blessed me with the opportunity of various experiences.
What are some of the unique things? You mentioned Oregon, you mentioned Louisiana. Any special memories that you have from those places where you grew up?
Well, I think the most powerful memory I have as a child from Eugene, Oregon is my salvation experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I came to know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior for the first time. It's really the story of a brown station wagon. And, you know, my mom used to drive me all over the city, and we had an 8-track in there, and so then we upgraded,
people in our the younger people in our audience think we're talking Greek. The older generation, we know what you're talking about.
Pontiac, you know, long brown station wagon, big heavy doors, you know, and we had an upgrade, a tape deck.
Ooh.
And that was a big deal. And Mom used to plug in the Bill Gaither Trio, and she'd plug in Steve Green and Sandy Patty and Keith Green. And we were kids, obviously, so, you know, all the Agape music, Kids Praise 1 and 2 and 3 and Both Frogs and Butterflies, they've both been born again, you know, and listen to the Music Machine and all this, and just this constant influence of Christianity and what Jesus does for us. And so I had that just constantly in my ears. And so I also had the example of them at church. We went to Willamette Christian Center. My dad was he was teaching at Eugene Bible College. That's a New Hope Christian college now, I believe. And my parents were those kind that any time there was an altar call, boom, they made a beeline for the altar. And they were there, you know, praying for people, laying hands on people. And so that was my example. So I thought, okay, well, if I want to get with God, this is how I meet him. And so I went down to the altar one day, and I knelt down and I prayed a prayer. But it wasn't until later, we were driving down 14th Street and Bailey Hill Road, and we came to a stop sign. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to Bill Gaither on the radio. And I was so young. I don't even remember what age I was. But I'm sitting there and it just hit me that I have to avoid hell. You know, so I think when I came down to the altar, I didn't know exactly what I was doing. You know, I was just following the example of my parents when others did.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember distinctly that moment when I knew that this decision had to be made. And I was sitting in the back of that station wagon listening to that music. And I remember I bowed my head and asked God to be the savior of my life and to save me from hell and to be with him for eternity. And, I entered into a relationship at that point, and so it just continued. And I remember that I marked that moment in my life, and my mom, you know, we tell stories about driving around in that station.
You know, you talk about a marked moment.
Mm-hmm.
And now as the years have unfolded, we can look back and see how that marked moment has been integrated, as a significant point in your life by the hand of God and a point of preparation, kind of a Genesis starting point, spiritually speaking, a point of convergence for you at a young age, and how many lives have been affected, how many lives have been impacted because of what happened as a child. You know, we talk about those younger years. Who would you say influenced you most in those growing up years?
Oh, 100% my father. You know, man of God. And even if he wasn't a man of God, I think that's God's design, you know, the family unit. And here's my father, and I watched him and how he interacted with my mother and the way he, you know, my concept of how to treat a woman, you know, and how to be in a relationship, it came from him. And I think life is relationships, right? The rest is just detail. And so I learned relationally everything I know, you know, by watching him, examining him. He, of course, is in ministry. So I've continued a deep relationship with him throughout my life. He's the one that I saw Christ in the most. He would be the example to me.
It makes me wonder, having a very strong role model in your dad, as a spiritual man, a man of God, you know, it sounds like there was a uniformity in the way in which he lived. And I think there's a generational impact on it. Tell us, kind of give us a sliver of a view of what your grandparents were like on your dad's side.
You see, I never knew them because dad got saved when he was 18. My dad's father he described him as a drunkard and he died when I was young, and I don't even call him grandpa, as you notice. He's my dad's dad. I didn't know him very well. Grandma, I knew very little on my dad's side, but we were living in Oregon where my mom was where she was born and where she grew up, and at the time anyway, and And her side of the family, the grandparents, very strong Christians, actually attended the Friends Church, Quakers, and had quite an impact on Mom, who had an impact on our family as well, so both mother and father. Dad, you know, there wasn't that legacy there, and I think that's part of it, that he did not want the legacy he inherited to continue.
Okay.
And so he was passionate about ensuring that our family was, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
And he wanted that to be the foundation for his children, and it's paid dividends, and both my sister and I love the Lord today.
You know, there is a sparkle of tangible hope there, because in life, you know, we don't always have the kind of heritage that we might ideally have hoped for or dreamed of. But in dealing with the reality that we've been given, like in the case with your dad, he took it as a moment to change the future of his family line, so to speak, before God. He capitalized on the privileged opportunity that God had given to him in his own conversion, his own salvation, and the fruit of his decisions.
Yeah.
And one day he's already the grandfather.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
his grandkids are going to talk about in some radio interview somewhere down the line, you know,
yeah,
maybe a
yeah.
TV or internet interview, or who knows what technology will be like in the future. How were you led, Chaplain, how were you led to serve in the United States Air Force?
Well, you know, Dad, again, you know, he actually served as a guard chaplain for almost 30 years and retired recently. And so he actually really encouraged me when I was 18 just to go ahead and join and to develop that aspect of my character and serve my country.
Mm-hmm.
Just grew up in a family who believed that military service and serving your country was the duty of every American, especially every American male. That's the family I grew up in. That's the understanding. And so I went ahead and joined and began serving. And, of course, I was serving, really, I saw as an opportunity to love others and to be an extension of my Christian duty as well. Serving others is just inherently a part of who you are as a Christian, you know, and giving of yourself. And so it was a natural bridge. And so I began serving. You know, the cross of Christ was never meant to be a destination, right? It's meant to be a beginning, you know. And so ever since the time I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, you know, I began this awesome journey. And so I really did see my military service and serving others as a part of, as an extension of who I was as a Christian and my duty in that way to God. And so as I was serving and I got to know the needs of the airmen and got to know the Air Force context, my heart for ministry grew.
Mm-hmm.
And God just laid a burden on my heart for the airmen. And that's why I believe, you know, I ended up becoming a chaplain, because over 7 years of being enlisted, just that burden, that belief that you know, God had something more through me for the military. That's where that developed.
You know, I hear a great deal of sensitivity to a burden, a spiritual awareness that you had in those 7 years, where God was able to reform and create dimensions of yearnings within your own heart. And you acted on it. As God led you, you acted on it. And God opened up doors of opportunity in your career.
Yeah.
You know, as you hear Chaplain Dave Heltom share, there are certain things that we sometimes are not very sensitive of because we live our lives so fast. There aren't enough moments of reflection. But perhaps this could be a moment of reflection for you to quiet the noises and the distractions around you and kind of listen in on what it is that God, through your situation, through your circumstance, the Lord is trying to say to you. Or in what way is he developing your heart and preparing you for the next step in life? You know, when we come back from our break, I'm going to ask Chaplain to talk to us. As, you know, he moved forward after those 7 years and God opened the door to the chaplaincy. He was brought into a place of seeing and experiencing those things in families that service airmen and women, just people that relate in military could connect with, the unique things that people go through that many don't understand or even aren't even aware of. When we come back, Chaplain Dave will share more with us, straight from the heart, straight from the gut. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Captain David Haltom, Chaplain of the United States Air Force. Before our break, we were talking in general about family and what military families go through, and you know, there are some unique things that the general population of American society have no idea, but I want Chaplain to share with us, what is it, or what are some of the common things that airmen, airwomen go through?
Well, you know, a lot of uncertainty. You know, constant moving, constant separation, you know. It's a labor of love. Sacrifice is the word that comes to mind when you want to serve your country. Whether it's sacrifice while you're deployed or just at home. But I'll share with you my personal journey. Mm-hmm. You know, as I just getting in was a faith building experience of becoming a chaplain. You know, big things happened that I didn't understand at the time. You know, but God was directing my steps, and just, you know, got in the 7 years as an enlisted person, and my heart just being developed, you know, for airmen, seeing what they're going through, and I knew I wanted to be a chaplain. So, you know, I went to Bible college, I did the seminary thing, I pastored, I was doing things in the civilian world, you know, and all with this target in mind, and I knew that military ministry was what I needed to be. And so when it was time to go to basic chaplain's course and begin the journey, I quit my job and, you know, and left my wife back in Springfield, Missouri, and I headed off to school. And, you know, I'd made application and all the paperwork was in, and I was already at the time a reserve chaplain, but I put in that package for active duty. And while I was at basic chaplain's course, I was informed that I was not selected. And I thought, I mean, we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what God had prepared us for, mm-hmm. and this is what God had. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And, of course, now I'm jobless, mm-hmm. soon to be homeless, you know. And I tell you, there's been several moments in my life where I've been at that place. But I knew God had said, take this step. I didn't know what the next one was, but he said, hey, take this step. And kind of a life verse I've always had in front of me, you know, is Psalm 37. And the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. And I love the way the New Living Translation puts it. It's very simple. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives, right? So God is always looking out for us. I mean, if it's a sparrow that he sees fall, you know, he knows when that happens. How much more does he know what's going on with our life? And so these are the words of faith that I would put in front of me, and, you know, in Jeremiah, and God has a future and a hope for you, and all these things, and, all, and every scripture, you know, I'd quote these things, and I was just broken, though. Here I am at being trained to be a chaplain. I'm at the course. I'm told my future is uncertain, according to man, right? But God knew there was something greater. And so I go through, I continue. I was just broken. But I continued through. And at graduation, the speaker was the command chaplain for Space Command. And so I was privileged to win the top academic award there at the school. And so he presented me with this award. And when he gave me the award, he said, hey, I need to talk to you afterwards. And so we moved out into the hallway. We chatted. And basically he said, well, you know, I have an opportunity. I need to see if you're available for. And it was a full-time job as a reservist, as a chaplain, at a base in Colorado. And, you know, if I'd been picked mm-hmm. up for active duty, that mm-hmm. base would not have been an opportunity for me. And so I went there, and they originally had told me 30 days, right? Well, it turned into a year, and I'm there at this base. And it was at that base where I learned how to do family retreat ministry. And that's where I began to understand, you know, really the reality of what families go through. And if I had not have been passed over for active duty, I would never have gone to this base where they didn't have a chapel. See, there was no Sunday ministry. Their whole ministry was nothing but retreat ministry. So I learned all the legal stuff and the rules and, you know, everything you need to know just experience-wise to know how to run a retreat program. Mm-hmm. And so the next assignment then, I was picked up for active duty while I was there at that assignment. And my next assignment was in Utah. And when I was in Utah, I was assigned to one of the most deployed wings in the world. In fact, they advertised they were. And so there was an opportunity to impact families. When we deploy, you basically are left with a single parent back at home. And we deploy often. And I tell you, it's, you know, the cycle is just unending, it seems. And for many families, it's gone 2, 3, 4 times. And, you know, the initial separation, if it's manageable, it's that when you put on another separation, you put on another separation, and you miss all these key events in the life of your family. It just really wears on the relationships, and those relationships become strained. And, you know, when you're under strain, when you're under stress, you know, you have to ensure your relationships are healthy. You know, otherwise they'll snap. It's kind of like a rubber band. If you mm-hmm. imagine pulling two ends of a rubber band, if the rubber band is healthy, you can really stretch that thing pretty far. Mm-hmm. And the distance between the two points can grow and grow, and that rubber band will stay intact. But if it's unhealthy, if it's crusty, you know,
yeah, crusty. Yeah,
you know, if it's a little dry, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe it, and you just strain it just a little bit, mm-hmm. right? You know, or if you've strained a lot, you've been yanking on it a lot, lots of separation, you've been pulling on it, pulling out, pulling. Eventually, it weakens, and it will snap. And so, I was able to initiate this retreat program called Operation Cope, helping Air Force families cope with the strain of deployment, separation of war. And it's not just that, you know, my husband or my wife is gone away from me for 8 months to a year or longer. It's that they're at war and they're facing death, and they often can't communicate with me. They can't call back home and say, hey, I'm okay, and here's what's going on. And so the fear of the unknown grasps so many of our military families. And I have learned as a chaplain, a lot of what we do is counseling. I've learned as a chaplain that fear is the foundation of all conflict in relationships. And as that fear grows, you know, you need someone to help you find a place of safety. And so we are able to initiate this retreat program. Over 9,000 families went through it, and lives are changed, and families are still going through it today. Going into the retreat program, there were 40 divorces per deployment, and after the retreat program initialized and got going, we had zero divorces, and I think after 4 years, we only had one divorce.
What kind of things did you put in?
Well, you know, the things that are in the retreat program, first of all, it's just three unadulterated days, you know, with family. I mean, there's three training sessions we would develop on relationship sustainment training to help folks sustain their relationships through their deployment separation. But we had a variety of activities designed to help those folks create memories that could get them through the deployment, shared memories with their family. If the kids had their own stuff going on, they would do things that would help them connect with other kids so that they would have relationships built to help them get through the deployment. They had peer group times where they could share age-appropriate things. We had activities. We had counselors on staff. You know, the spouses would get together, and they would share the things that are unique to their life situation and what they're going through. And they would just create this community, you know, so that they could get through. And, you know, so a lot of the programming was designed around the family to give them time together with a targeted curriculum to help them get through. Mm-hmm. You know, and my wife and I, we went through it, you know. And,
How was it on a personal
level? Yeah, on a very personal level. We needed to retreat ourselves to get through because I did deploy during that time, and we were facing some stress. We tried to have children for many, many years, and we found out, you know, finally the Lord had blessed us, you know, with a pregnancy, and I was targeted though to deploy 6 days after, I deployed 6 days after my first daughter was born. And that left my wife at home. And this is the story of many military families. That left my wife at home, you know, with a newborn by herself. And at this point, it was toward the end of my assignment in Utah. And so many of our friends had already moved on. And so the support systems weren't in place. You know, you're moved far away from the country. You're moved away from your family and your parents and your larger extended family that might be able to support, and you're on your own. And that's what many of our military families face. And so here we were. Deployed, and I'm in harm's way, and she's struggling at home with a newborn. I had also been away just prior to the birth of our daughter Nevaeh, at Squadron Officer Leadership School, and Squadron Officer School was intense, and so even during the pregnancy, I was away, and so she had to learn how to cope and get through on her own. And parenting is hard enough, right?
Absolutely, you know,
it's hard mm-hmm. enough, but to do it as a single parent mm-hmm. is a whole other thing. And she was struggling. It was I don't know if postpartum depression was, you know, a part of that, but all the normal things you would go through as a new mom were complicated and amplified because daddy was not there and there was no extra support there. And of course, then the strain, I'm gone and I'm facing death on a daily basis. So,
Chaplain, you know, somebody's listening right now, and as they listen to you talk, something wells up within them, a point of connectability, relatability. Sometimes words cannot express. Language is inadequate to convey the boiling of the emotions and the depths of our souls, the stirrings of our hearts. Somebody that's just welling up right now and saying, that's me. That's how I feel. That's what I'm going through. Maybe it's accompanied with tears. maybe sobbings, maybe just shakings, maybe just the inability to let anything out, but there's just a relational connection. What would you say to somebody at this very moment listening and saying, this is speaking to me?
I always believe that the deepest needs in our lives are met by Jesus Christ, are met by our great God. And so I find at times like these, when folks are going through the most difficult times in their life, nothing can replace the words of Scripture. And Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near, and He has not abandoned us. And even though we go through times of crisis and difficulty, and we're facing unbelievable, we don't know how we're going to get through. How am I going to pay the bills? My wife, I'm left now holding the bag. Mm-hmm. I have to do everything around the house, mow the lawn. How am I going to get through when I can barely handle just my lane, and now my husband and his support, he's gone. The Lord is near. And so it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And see, I believe that when your heart is guarded, when you have that sense of hope and you're strengthened internally, right, then everything else after that, it falls into place. When you internally have what God intends for you, and how you're intended to function. I believe that we are intended to have hope dwelling in an ever-increasing measure within us. And that's what gives us the ability to love outwardly and to have our relationships affected rightly, in every area, every arena, whether it's work or at home, it doesn't matter. I believe there are three relationships of life. And this is what I would tell anyone in crisis: the upward, the inward, and the outward. And the character of right upward relationship is faith. And if you ground yourself in faith and you draw near to God and you believe, God, I believe you're ordering my steps. You know about every detail of my life. Man, nothing is outside of your view. And you know my life and what I'm going through. When you're grounded in faith upward, right, then that hope springs inward.
Chaplain is able to articulate in ways that are really a gift from God to you. And you may be a military airman, airwoman, serviceman, servicewoman at this very moment, or you may just be in a moment of crisis in life. You may not even be directly connected to the military, but you are facing something and you're catching something that is connecting with you, that's connecting with your understanding. You might not even have, as you have heard me say, and you hear us talk about, a personal relationship with God. But you have a yearning for it. You desire to know more. You desire to have it. Well, you're at the right place at the right time. This is a divine moment for you. And when we come back from our break, Chaplain Dave is just beginning to share. There's more. There's more. There's more for you. God has a very unique way of crafting just the right thing at the right time for you, because He knows you and He loves you. And this program is for you. When we come back, we'll hear more from Chaplain Dave. So stay with us, okay? Don't leave now. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chineta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Chaplain David Heltum. Chaplain David is a captain in the United States Air Force. You know, the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we're here to not only communicate heart to heart with you via radio, it's streaming live through the internet. We also have created the goodlifehawaii.org, a website that has a capacity that enables us to reach you and connect with you as well as others whom you might know. You might be listening and thinking, oh, I wish my husband could hear this. Oh, I wish my wife could hear this. Oh, I wish my friend could hear what Chaplain Dave is saying. Well, you know, all is gained when you go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, because the show will be available and it can be accessed 24/7. We also have prayers on there. There might be prayers. You feel financial need, you feel a need for a decision, big decision that needs to be made, you can go ahead, click the Let Danny Pray for You tab. There's some prayers that are set for you, as well as someone might be listening today and saying, hey, I want to know more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, go to the Get to Know Jesus tab when you visit the Good Life Hawaii website, and we'll have a presentation that's made, crafted just for you. Well, Chaplain, we talked about aspects of deployment. We've talked about aspects of how to cope. You've shared from your heart, but I feel like we were only kind of getting started. Mm-hmm. So share more.
Well, I mentioned my daughter was born, and 6 days later I had to leave. That was gut-wrenching. Ripped my heart out. And to leave my wife and my daughter. And I got on a plane and I headed for Iraq. And my job there was to be the 732nd Air Expeditionary Group chaplain. And what that means is I was a chaplain to all of the airmen across the country of Iraq that were working for the Army. And so it was an Army deployment, as it were. I had to go to 2 months of Army combat skills training and, learn how to operate in a wartime environment outside the wire. And, I was only there 2 weeks when I encountered my first combat, as it were, scenario. And in the ministry that I had, I was charged with bringing hope to others, right? You know, you're focused on survival first and ministry second, as it were. And I was privileged. We were sent out to a very remote site, my chaplain assistant and I, and we were visiting some Air Force personnel and some Army personnel who were working on an Iraqi Army base, and they were training them how to sustain a base and manage it. And so we went out there and led some services and provided the folks there an opportunity to worship. But really, it's just more relational. Did a lot of counseling and encountered these folks had been through unbelievable things. And so I'm listening to all of these stories, feeling like I'm going through them myself personally. And those folks there are the ones that we joined with and experienced conflict. And after the conflict, one of the soldiers there, he picked up a shell casing, he handed me a shell casing. He said, "Chaplain, this is the bullet. This is the first bullet of which I have taken my first life. Yeah, you know, so that others might live, and in the protection of, you know, our country." And so he handed me the shell casing, and he said, "And I want to give it to you, because I don't know if I could have gotten through, you know, what we have been talking for 3 days." He didn't know if he could have gotten through that experience, if I hadn't been there to share God's word, and, you know, and the hope that we find in Scripture, and meditating, right, helping him to meditate constantly on the words of peace and joy and hope, you know, and just helping to remember Christ didn't come to take away our pain and our difficulty, but to give us peace and joy in the midst of them. And, you know, and so we prayed for God's mercy, you know, continued mercies, and asked for his continued unmerited favor and grace. And just being that presence of the holy for him was so important. But what had happened is that I took that shell casing and I put it in my pocket as a reminder of, you know, I don't carry a weapon. You know, I'm a non-combatant. My chaplain assistant does, and she was charged with basically my personal security, as it were, no matter where we rolled throughout the country. And we FOB-hopped. We went all over the country. Our military listeners will know what a FOB is, a forward operating base. We went to over 30 during our time moving around the country, and I had that shell casing in my pocket as a reminder that, you know, these people are dealing with life and death issues, weighing life. You know, life is in the balance. And what... When he handed me the shell casing, he said to me that I want you to know that even though you don't carry a weapon, you know, you hold in your hands and you are charged with life and death. And eternal matters are in my hands, and eternal life and our eternal death. And I tell you, the warrior in me just kind of rised up, you know, mm-hmm. I charged forward. I'm so glad that happened in the very first few weeks of my deployment, because it gave me the boldness to move forward in ministry throughout the rest of the country. And that's just one story. But later on, about 2 months later, mm-hmm. I was at Balad Air Base in Iraq, and that soldier was wounded, and he was medevac to Balad. And his first sergeant, they call him Top. Top came and found me, and we went to the hospital there, and I still had the shell casing, and I leaned over, and he was mortally wounded, and so I took it out and I handed it back to him, and I said, "Well, you gave this to me as a reminder of what I'm charged with, and that life and death hang in the balance, and I'm your pastor, I'm your shepherd, and trying, you know, attending to your soul." And he handed that to me as that reminder. I handed it back to him, and I said, "Now you're in God's care." And I said, "When you see him, you can give him this." And I tell you, he welled up, and he knew that he was secure, he was safe, mm-hmm. and that he would be with God, and eternally at peace. And I tell you, you know, that impacted me. And as he... slipped away during the night, was able to do his Patriot ceremony and send him home with a flag over the coffin to his family. And I wrote a letter, you know, to go with it. And writing those words, some of the most difficult things I've ever done. and helping the commander, write his letter to the family and make that connection. And what a valuable life, that soldier had, and what an impact he made on me. I was able to minister to thousands, and get them through, the most difficult times in their life with the Word of God, and I believe just my physical presence. People, they see a chaplain coming, they just, yes, it's a, yes, ministry of presence. I don't even have to, mm-hmm, say anything; mm-hmm, just be present, and they feel God's comfort and love just through that presence, and they feel safe, and that they can keep moving forward, mm-hmm, and doing their nation's business, and so that's what I call a divine appointment, right? God put that soldier in my life so that I could be a blessing to others. And, I remember mission. I remember planning that mission, and we were in the mission planning process, and we were uncertain if we were going to have time to make it to this location. And we actually were at the location previous to that, and our plane got diverted. The plane that we were supposed to get on got diverted, and so we were, okay, we could no longer go. We thought we're never going to make it. We were supposed to actually head somewhere else. Anyway, so one thing led to another, and we ended up on a helicopter, the only way we could get anywhere that took us to this location. And so, God just directed the steps and ordered our steps. And just like I mentioned, I'm unemployed, what do I do? God, I knew this is what your plan was, and step forward in faith. And we got that job in Colorado that gave me the understanding I needed to impact lives. One of the unintended consequences of that retreat program is that 150 people came to know Jesus Christ for the first time. And that wasn't even the point of the program. But, those 150 families were affected, and they're in heaven, either today or will be, because of, God directing our steps, because I had to go through the crisis of, hey, God, what are you doing? What do you mean I didn't make active duty? And it just seemed, I thought all was lost, and I was crushed. But, and God, He brings the answers. He shows you how He's directing you, but not always at the time.
I listen to you, Chaplain, and I say to myself, disappointment, God's appointment.
Yeah.
And somebody is disappointed at some point in their life. Today, somebody's disappointed because they didn't get what they expected or what they didn't expect came in a completely different way. And it sort of sends a person, it sent you, it has sent me, it sends our dear friend right now who's listening in a tailspin of wondering what is going on here. And for a believer in Christ, and we're not immune from those very same feelings, the question arises, what's happening? When we come back from our break, Chaplain Dave, who has gone through it, who knows what it's about, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about when your back is against the wall and you are feeling the feelings of wonder, despair. Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Why right now? Why wasn't I promoted? And on. What to do in the face of that kind of challenge, that kind of difficulty? There's hope, There are reasons. God is with you. He's going to help you through. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Chaplain Dave.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today. I'm very privileged to have him in studio with me, Chaplain Dave Halton. And Chaplain Halton is sharing with us about deployment. He's gone overseas. He's been away from family for extended periods of time at critical times in his family's life. But Chaplain Dave, you are here with me in these beautiful, under the beautiful blue skies in the beautiful island chain of Hawaii on Oahu. Chaplain, how did you get here?
Well, praise God for Hawaii. It's like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I mean, right now, that's what I'm feeling.
Yes.
On the heels of Iraq, you know, I finally thought, okay, I've done my duty. I've been at war. I'm headed home. And, you know, just before I was sent home, I was notified that I was going to be sent on another remote tour for 1 year away from my family. Altogether, 2 years of separation. And the crisis point for us was, you know, my wife was turning 35. She was afraid. We wanted children. We only had been blessed with one, and here we are. I mean, we were always separated. Now's the time to have babies, you know. Now's the time to have family. Not getting any younger. And so we just thought, we couldn't believe it, and I'm going to be gone again for another year, postponing, you know, the building of the family and having this life that we believe God had promised to us and the blessing of children, the scripture says here. Well, you know, I was off at this remote tour, 24 hours of darkness for 6 months of the year. You're all kinds of struggles emotionally as the melatonin builds up in your body, and it's called seasonal affective disorder. And, you know, you're struggling with that. But they had a special program where my wife could visit for 1 week. 1 week, and she could come. And she got bumped. We paid all kinds of money to get her, and she got bumped off the flight. And we thought, okay, God, what are you doing? We're one opportunity to be together. You know, again, more crisis. We're like, man, you know, and a cynical person would say, God never looks out for me. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't know what's going on in my life. But again, remembering that verse, he delights in every detail. Come to find out, of course, you know, she was able to come then 2 weeks later. And after that visit, 9 months later, Noah. And I got home 1 week before Noah came. And if she hadn't been bumped off that aircraft, you know, again, who knows? But we were given the opportunity of coming to Hawaii very simply because of all that separation. And we believe God brought us here as sort of a reward, a thank you, right, for all that.
Okay.
And so here we are. And now we're at another point of uncertainty in our life, and we're looking for God to come through. You know, I've finished 20 years, and we were looking for God's direction, and I'll be out at the Air Force here in the next couple months, and I don't know what God has next.
Chaplain, you can speak straight from the gut. A moment of transition, a parting shot for someone who themselves is in transition. Uncertainty. Chaplain Dave Helton, what would you say God would have you say to someone, even as you sort of preach to yourself in a moment of transition?
Constantly reminding myself that God doesn't steer parked cars. So many people sit around and are like, "Hey, God, what do you want me to do? I'm just waiting for you to tell me, come down from heaven. Yeah. Give me a voice, a sign." Well, what needs to happen is you need to put the keys in the ignition, start that car up, start moving for God and serving Him in some way. Just start moving and allow the Holy Spirit then to direct and guide you. But so many people just sit parked. And so I'm just moving forward in ministry, continuing to serve folks, getting out there and saying, "Hey, I'm available for ministry," and just putting, I'm heading toward a target.
Yes.
And as I go, I know the Holy Spirit will just guide and direct and lead me in different ways. And so I just have to keep myself, don't sit on my laurels, don't sit back and say, "Oh, God will take care of me." Mm-hmm. But, get moving and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work and guide and direct us, directing every step because He cares about, every detail of our lives.
I love the way you say it. God doesn't steer parked cars.
That's right.
And you're certainly moving. You've been moving. You are on the move. And I think one of the beautiful things about you, Chaplain Dave, is that as you move in the way of the Lord, your life story, your track record is that you bring along a lot of people with you. And when they come with you, part of the blessing is that they get the hope that is welling out of your own heart and out of your own life. You're a great blessing to me. You're a great blessing to so many in our military. And you will continue to be a blessing in the days to come as the Lord leads you. Because you, Chaplain Dave, you are on the move. In the next few days, you're going to hear more stories from people like Chaplain Dave Helton. Invite someone to listen in. Let them be inspired. I want to invite you to go visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can hear Chaplain Dave get someone else to listen to this show and others. Psalm chapter 9 verse 18 says, "But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish." Because as Chaplain Dave says, he's into the details. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Captain David Helton, Chaplain of the United States Air Force. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.